Great. So, start of the new year, and we're doing a 3-week series on resolution. So, you know, it's time of a New Year's resolution. Sometimes people kind of scoff at that idea, and other people take it really seriously. But actually, God's been really speaking to me about resolution and about making sure that we get things right for this year, because sometimes we just plod along, don't we, from month to month, from week to week, from weekend to weekend, and none of it really has any meaning or purpose. And so actually, what I really feel is that this is an important year for people in this room, but it's an important year for us as a church as well, a year in which I believe God's going to be building things, bringing in some structure as well, as I've mentioned in Horizon News about where we're going. I think there's something really specific about this year being a year of purpose. So resolution is something, as I was looking at it, you know, the meaning won't really shock you. It just means a firm decision to do or not do something. But it comes from a Latin root, which means kind of resolve, and it kind of comes from a word that means like loosen or release. And I really feel actually that God wants to loosen and release things in people today, that as we look at resolution, it's kind of like a firm decision to do or not do something. Normally that's like it's something negative that you think, actually, I've kind of, you know, I've got this craving that I always feel, or I've got something in my life that I want to sort out and I want release from it. That's the reason that we decide to have a resolution. Or maybe it's taking something positive, but you know, you want to go exercise more, but there's a sense of laziness and you need release from that as well. So there's a sense that I believe God wants to release something in us today. And I just invite you in this moment to just really open your heart, because obviously every time I get up to speak, I always say what I feel God wants me to say, but today feels more significant than some other times I've got up to speak. And I don't know how that works, I don't know why that is, but I just feel over this weekend, I've been preparing this, there's been this weight on me, and I think actually that there's this weight from all the limits that are before us, and the limits we put on our lives. And someone got me this jumper for Christmas. It says smashing limits. And I don't normally like jumpers that say stuff like this, because I don't really like drawing attention to myself. But I've kind of decided that if I'm leading a church, I probably need to get used to attention being on me a little bit. And actually, you know, someone got me this and I thought, you know what, I want to wear this first time I speak of the year, because actually we need to be smashing through the limits for this year ahead. And so I just pray, just open your hearts right now. Listen to what I'm saying, but actually don't listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what God might be saying through me. So the word resolution, and it comes, you know, the word resolute was like what I was led to next, and the definition of resolute was that it was purposeful, determined, and unwavering, and those are the three things we're going to be speaking on over the next 3 weeks. So purposeful, you know, people of purpose, determined, that we need to be determined to keep on going, and being unwavering as well as a people. I believe these are words for us individually, for the people in this room, but also for us as a church as well, to move us forward. So today is purpose, and you know what, I believe God really wants to impart something in us that's much, much deeper than just a New Year's resolution. You know, a New Year's resolution is one thing, you're deciding to change in your life, but this is much, much deeper. This is God imparting in us a sense of purpose, a sense of meaning in life. And I believe this morning is going to be just starting that kind of process of discovering our purpose for this year ahead, and potentially for life as well. For those of you that were here last week, we had our New Year's Eve bring and share meal. We had a time of worship, and we kind of just, it was New Year's Eve, so we prayed out 2023 and prayed in 2024. And as part of that, I had these Bible verses printed, which I invited people to come and get. So if you weren't here last week, feel free to come grab one for yourself and for your loved ones. Hopefully we don't run out, otherwise I'll have to go print some more, which won't be an issue. But what it is that it's a verse, kind of a Bible verse that you can take with you for the year ahead. And it was one of those things that Lydia's family have always done in the church that she was in, is you kind of get a Bible verse for the year. And it's always been really significant for me. And so I took a bit of a step of faith last week and decided, you know what, some people get a bit funny about this thing, don't they, like one Bible verse, is it a bit, but you know, I thought, you know what, I'm going to pray that God's in it, and we're going to do it, and there was amazing results. People came up and took them, and people were saying it was just absolutely spot on. We had this wall of hopes and dreams and visions for 2024 that I invited people to come and just share anything, any kind of hopes or dreams or visions that they have, maybe just for themselves, but also for the church as well, to share it, to write it down, to put it up on here, to put it up on this wall. And people are willing to do that again. We've got these cards here as well. So after the service, if you've got a hope or a dream or a vision for yourself or for this church or for this community, you can write it down and put it up. But someone said that they'd just written something and put it up, something they believed that they wanted to do this year in their relationship with God. And they put it up and then they came over, they took one of those verses and it said exactly the same thing. So it was a real confirmation for them. But I want to encourage people as well, as you take that Bible verse, to keep pondering on it, praying on it, because sometimes you get those moments where it's like, as soon as you come up, it's bang, that was it. That was really relevant to me. Other times, like the one that I picked, I was a little bit like, oh, I'm not so sure about that one. So I put it up on my fridge. And then just a few days later, I came back to it. And suddenly it just made sense. And I thought, yeah, that's what God wants to do in me this year. So keep praying into that. If you want to come get one, come and get one. But today is about purpose. That's the reason that we had those, is it's seeing what our purpose is for the year ahead. And what I want to do this morning is to leave this place with a renewed sense of purpose for us, so for each of the people in this room, but also a renewed sense of purpose for Horizon as a church in this community and in this place. And I think some of it is going to be smashing through some lies. I spoke about limits earlier, but you know, there's lies that we believe, like your life is meaningless. You don't have a purpose. Sometimes we feel down or we feel worthless or we feel that tiredness that I talked about earlier. And actually, these are lies that we believe. And I believe this morning that we really need to just smash through those lies and smash through those limits. So Lord, we just pray right now that that's what's going to happen this morning, that you give us a stronger sense of purpose, of meaning in life, and that we know what we're heading towards. And over these next 3 weeks, that you really just speak to each of us as well. Amen. Sharon is like now the quote lady, by the way, because I was speaking to her about this in the week and she gave me a quote to share. She just said, you know, see if you want to share it or not. But it was from a film called Breakthrough, which is a Christian film that I've spoken about before that Sharon and Chris absolutely love. How many times have you watched it, guys? Countless. There you go. More than Harry Potter or not that much? No. Right. Sorry. Yeah. But it says this. It says, yesterday is not ours to recover, but tomorrow is ours to win or lose. And you know what? That's what I feel is 2024 is there for the taking. Are you going to choose to live each day like it's to win or lose, or just ponder on what can't be recovered and what's happened in the past? And so I shared last week at our New Year's Eve meal about Isaiah 43, verse 18 to 19, that says, forget the former things, don't dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up, do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And what the message says, the message translation says, forget about what's happened before. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert, be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert and rivers in the badlands. And so, Lord, we just pray right now that we forget those former things. We don't dwell on the past, but we see what you're doing in our lives and in this church, and that we react to that as well. And we believe we're going to see streams in the wilderness. See a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland as well. But you know what? I think, first of all, if we want to look at purpose, we need to understand what is our purpose in Bible terms and in God terms as well. And last week, Judy came up to me during the New Year's meal, the worship bit, and said about Ephesians 1, she felt the need to read Ephesians 1 and to share that with the church. But just at that point, it was kind of getting towards the end and the food was starting to come out and I could see everyone was like starting to go over there. And you know, you just sense the room is no longer here. They're now over by the food. And I thought, you know what, people aren't in the right place to hear this at the moment. And maybe that's, this isn't like a judgment, because I'm there too, mate. You know, 100%, the food was great. But actually, maybe God wants to speak to us through that, that, you know, we're going after the quick food rather than what's deeper. And actually this year is about seeking God for what's deeper rather than just taking what's immediately there in front of us. And so I'm going to read out part of Ephesians here. It's quite long, but I just want us just to just focus on it for a minute and just let it just kind of fall in our hearts, fall in our minds. So it's from Ephesians 1, verse 3. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So first of all, we got every spiritual blessing in Christ. You know, Judy shared earlier about having God's DNA, about Jesus' DNA in us. And that's what this is. We have every spiritual blessing with us. When we're looking at our purpose, when we're looking at the things we want to change in our lives, it's not just us. We have those blessings with us. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship, or to be his children through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have the redemption through his blood. So he's redeemed us, he's brought us back through his blood and for the forgiveness of sins in accordance with his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. And so God's bringing things together. He's bringing this unity between heaven and earth. He's bringing everything to fulfillment. And we're somewhere within that. And in verse 11, it says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. And you know what, we often do things in bite-sized chunks these days. And sometimes it's good just to get a whole passage of scripture like that. Just read it out. And I know for some people it will go deeper than others, but let's just come back to the room as well, if that was a bit much. But the main thing I got out of that is that the purpose of God is determined, that he's working out his purpose in this world. And actually, it's not just being fulfilled in us, but it's being fulfilled in the whole world from the beginning of time. God's plans, what he's doing is determined, it's predestined. And what Jill was sharing earlier in terms of his purpose and his plan. And somewhere within that, we're sitting there in that. And it's almost like as God's bringing unity, as he's bringing things together, as he's bringing things in fulfillment in the world, he's also doing it in us as well. And so there's this kind of parallel thing that God's doing stuff in us, he's doing stuff in the church, and he's doing stuff in the world, all at the same time. And so this purpose for our life, actually there's a pathway for our lives as well, and it's linked to everything else that God's doing. That's what I see in that passage, is that he's bringing those things to fulfillment, and it's almost like there's this path that's set before us, this purpose that we have before us that we need to discover and go down. And we see that in the story of the Bible. You know, we see promises, we see purposes set out over people's lives. We still see fulfillment of those purposes as well in every single story in the Bible, in every single page, in every single person, every single character. And the thing that you notice about those people is that there was only one who actually got it right the whole time. That was Jesus. But the rest of them, they messed it up time and time again. But God's purpose and promises were still fulfilled. You know, there's people he spoke over. He said, you know, through your descendants, this will happen. Through you, this will happen. And they mess it up again and again and again, but his purpose still prevails. And so there's something about having a purpose in life, and at the same time, we mess it up and we go along the way, but it's still, that path is still there. There's a translation called the Passion Translation, and I just want to, I'm not going to read the whole passage, but just draw out a few bits, just change the language a little bit, because sometimes it just brings it to life, and sometimes when we hear things always the same way, we kind of skim over it. So just receive this for a minute. It was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children, and this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. Through the revelation of the Anointed One, Jesus, he unveiled his secret desires to us, the hidden mystery of his long-range plan, which he was delighted to implement from the beginning of time. And because of God's unfailing purpose, this detailed plan will reign supreme through every period of time until the fulfillment of all the ages finally reaches its climax, when God makes all things new in all of heaven and earth through Jesus Christ. Before we were even born, he gave us our destiny, that we would fulfill the plan of God, who always accomplishes every purpose and plan in his heart. And so I see this kind of intertwining between God's ultimate plan and purpose for the world, and how actually he also brings all things together, and all things have a sense of purpose, and it's all meeting his plan, his purpose for our life as well. But what I want to say is, living out that purpose looks very, very different in the day-to-day than when you see the bigger picture, right? In the day-to-day, it always feels a little bit more mundane, a little bit more difficult. You don't always foresee the troubles that you're going to have. And when I was 18 years old, I'd just come to faith. I went on a mission trip to a country in Eastern Europe. And as part of that, I was with a pastor of a church there. And I don't really know why we did this, but he said, let's go climb the mountain near our town. So I was like, okay. I think he just wanted to spend some time with me and just feed me and speak to me and stuff. And so we went up this mountain. And I'd never been up a mountain before, and it sounds a bit silly, but you know, you always see pictures of mountains like with the peak, and was like a triangle kind of shape. I just assumed that all mountains were like that, really. So I kind of expected to get to this peak and then just see everything. And instead, we got to the top, and it wasn't like this peak. It was just like this really kind of just wide area. And I was like, are we at the peak yet? And he didn't really know either. So I said, well, let's go. We can see another bit over there. Let's go to that bit, and then we'll see if that's kind of the peak. So we went to the next bit. And again, there was just wide, and then we saw another bit. And so we must have done it about 10 times, going from the next spot that we saw, we just went over to it. And each time we got there, and then I think the last time I just said, should we just try one more time, just see if we can do it. We went the last time, and finally we reached the other side of the mountain, and you could see this massive drop. And you're kind of a lot more of a risk taker when you're younger, aren't you? Because I remember sitting on this rock with my legs like dangling off this huge, huge drop and not being at all bothered by it. Now I just like, oh, no way. What it was is actually, when we're at the top of that mountain, we couldn't see the whole way. We couldn't see the peak, but we could just see the next bit that we needed to go to. And we saw that, and it looked really close sometimes, and I'd think, oh yeah, it'll take like a minute to walk there. And then as you start walking, you suddenly realize there's quite a dip, then you've got to walk around other bits, then you trip on a rock. When you live it out day to day, suddenly you have a sense of purpose, something you're fixed towards, but suddenly you live it out day to day, and it's very, very different. And so I want to encourage people this morning that actually, the purpose that God has for your life, there'll be times where it's really clear where you got to go. There'll also be times where you suddenly have that dip. Suddenly it takes a lot longer to get there, or you have a stumble, you have a fall, but God's still fulfilling his purpose in you. And so as we look at the beginning of the year, I think what God wants us to do is to discover what that purpose is for this next year. Not discover the whole thing, not like find the peak, because sometimes we think it's going to, like we laughed about that with me, right? But we do the same thing with God. We kind of expect him just to bring this whole answer. There you go, perfect peak, triangle shape, that's it. Just like cartoons, but actually reality is life is different. And as we look ahead to this next year, that's all we're focusing on for now, it's just 2024. You might look ahead and feel like that purpose, that thing you're looking ahead to is maybe a little bit blurry, like you're not quite sure what it looks like. There's not much clarity. Or maybe you see like a number of paths, a number of different ways you can go, and you're not quite sure where they lead, and you're kind of wondering which one to go. Or maybe you've just got an absolute blank, and you're just like, I don't know what's going on in life. I don't know what God's doing. There's just nothing ahead of me at the moment. And in those times, we need to make sure that we're seeking God. That's how we get that clarity. That's how we get that sense of purpose, is actually we're just really realigning ourselves with what God is doing, with what that purpose is. And that's what our kind of prayer theme is for the month in Horizon News at the moment, is seek the Lord. And actually, I feel beginning of this year, or the kind of November time, I was praying ahead for the year ahead. I felt like God said, like, we need to start 2024 on the front foot. And I had some real kind of vision in place of Horizon, like, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, I'm going to have this in place, I'm going to have that in place. And some of those things, kind of Christmas came, it got busy, they didn't seem to quite be falling into place. And then suddenly this thing inside me was like, we need to be seeking God. We need to be praying. And around that time, someone came to me and said, you know, do you think we should be praying and fasting as a church in January? A lot of churches do that, praying and fasting. And actually, that's the perfect way to hit the ground running in 2024, is seeking God, making sure that we're being aligned with his will. And so we're calling the church at the moment to pray and fast together. I'll explain a little bit more about fasting if you don't really know much about that at the moment, but I'm just going to read the rest of Ephesians 1 at the moment. So, and we read up to verse 14. From verse 15, it says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you." Remember, this is Paul's letter to the church. He's speaking to the church. "Remembering you in my prayers, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably greater power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted, and he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come." So you have that first section of Ephesians 1 that talks about purpose, talks about God determining and planning and how we're part of that. And then the next bit is, how do you discover that? It's by seeking God's Spirit for wisdom and revelation. By praying, you know, his prayer for that church is that the eyes of their heart might be enlightened, that they might know the hope to which he's called them. And so that's what I want to say this morning, is it's time to seek the Lord. You know, as a church, individually, it's time to seek God. It's time to just pray for that revelation, the illumination of things that are currently dark and where we can't see a way forward. And when we do that, we start to see clarity for a way forward. And you know, what fasting is, we're encouraging people to kind of model the Daniel fast, which is in the book of Daniel, mainly in chapter 1 or chapter 10. So feel free to have a read through that. But in Daniel 1, Daniel was kind of a prophet, and he was taken by the Babylonians and taken captive, and three other friends as well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And as they were kind of living there, they took them, because they were strong and young, they took them to kind of work in the palace and stuff. And basically, they gave them the king's food. But the king's food, the kind of food they gave them and everything, was kind of like a defilement. It was the things they're not supposed to eat and drink. And so they said, we don't want to eat this. And so instead they said, just give us vegetables. And they're like, no, the whole point of having you is that you're supposed to be strong and fit. If we just give you vegetables, you're not going to be strong and fit. But they said, no, just give us those and watch what happens. And so they fasted for 10 days and they were just as strong as the other men, and God continued to work through them. And so, you know, this is what we're encouraging as a church, is not just food fasts, but actually to make sure that that we're just seeking God and making changes in our lives that help us to do that, help us to focus on him. So it might be food, it might be that you decide you're going to stop having processed foods, or you're going to go the whole Daniel fast, which was like all sorts of things, not having meat and dairy and bread unless it was whole grain or something. So it's like, it's a lot of stuff. But actually, maybe you're new to fasting and you just want to choose like one thing, like I'm not going to eat chocolate. Or maybe you have like a health reason that you don't want to do food, you don't have to do food, you can do anything. If you think about it, at Daniel's time, it wasn't all the stuff that we have, right? We have iPhones, we have TVs, we have social media, we have all these things that are feeding us. And in Daniel's time, that's what happened, is they were going to the palace and they were being fed what everybody else was being fed. And so I encourage you to ask, what is everybody in this world being fed that they just take? I want to say, actually, no, I want a release from that for a while. I want to just take it off that. And the reason we do that is because when we do that, it sharpens our appetite for God. And it shows us how much we depend on other things as well. So I started my fast like 2-3 days ago, and honestly, I'm a lightweight, because like within a couple of days, and I'm not doing like loads of stuff, but I'm just one of the things I'm doing is trying not to snack on kind of unhealthy things, on processed foods, and just trying to have fruits and nuts and that kind of thing. And I've made some changes as well about eating meat and some other areas as well that God's been highlighting to me around social media. But as I was doing that, suddenly like, I just became super aware of all the snacks that are there, you know, and super aware of every moment that I go to reach the cupboard, or even just being around other people's houses and being around other people, you suddenly notice like the food gets in front of them and they're almost just like, right, just start eating. And I found myself realizing how much we rely on food, but not just food, but also like the unhealthy foods as well, the fast foods, and how much people desire that. And then I'll be sitting in a room, because I've taken a break from social media, I won't be on my phone as much. And then I'll see other people kind of just on their phone the whole time. And it's not like I'm getting self-righteous and being like, oh, you know, I'm better than them or anything. But it's more like it just makes me realize myself how much I rely on these things. And so it kind of sharpens us in some ways, and sharpens us for God. And it allows us just to take back control. So I encourage us as a church in this time to just be finding something that you want to fast with, or maybe give up for a while, and to use that as an opportunity just to seek God in that moment as well, as we create time and space for him. So let's be doing that as a church. And I've said before, you know, we're going to be praying more as a church as well. On Thursday, we have our Zoom prayer thing. So come along to that. That'll be great. The link's in the Horizon News, or if you need it sent to you, I can send it out to you as well. But that last bit of the passage talks about invoking the name of Jesus, who is above all power and authority. And actually, that's what we're doing here, is we're not just doing this in our own strength, but we're trusting in Jesus. We're trusting his strength as well. And if you want to know what fasting does, then I think Romans 12, 1 to 2 just really summarizes it well. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So all those things I've just spoke about are there, and I stumbled across this after I'd kind of planned that bit, and I was like, this just describes it perfectly. It's making that sacrifice of saying, actually, I'm going to give something up for God. And as you do that, you're not conforming to what everybody else is doing. And God kind of starts to renew your mind, But then it also talks about testing and approving what God's will is. So we start to see that purpose. You know, what does he want us to do in life? So, you know, just take that. But also, I think for us as a church, I spoke about God giving us a renewed purpose for us as a church. And the last two verses say this, and God placed all things under his feet, as Jesus, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So we talk about what Jesus has done, but actually part of his plan is the church. It's the people of God in this world. And actually that means for us, we're part of it. It doesn't just say that we're part of his plan, but actually that Christ is the head and the church is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So it's like, wow, God really wants to use us. You look at the Bible, God used people to speak to people, used people to write the Bible, and God wants to use us as well. We're part of that fulfillment. So that's what it is for Horizon. You know, we need to know our purpose here. And I think sometimes in church at the moment, I know my experience as well, just going to church and growing up and being a Christian as an adult as well, is sometimes you have this sense of like, what am I actually doing here? You know, why are we doing this? Why are we meeting every Sunday? What's the purpose? And sometimes it feels like we've forgotten what church is for. And it's almost like we just do it because we think that's what we have to do. And I was thinking recently about how it seems to me like older things used to last longer. Like, you know, in my family, there's things that my parents have that used to be my grandparents, or things that I have now that used to be my parents, that's lasted for ages. Even like tables and chairs, they're like, this table is 60 years old, or the clock that I broke that was 35 years old. But nowadays we go to IKEA and we get something and it lasts like a year, and then it breaks, and then we go get something else, and then that breaks and we get something else. But actually, things over time kind of lose their sense of purpose. There's things in my parents' house that's like, this is this old thing, but really it has no purpose. It's just sitting in a cupboard because it's this sentimental thing that they have. And what I feel is like sometimes the church has become more of like a sentimental thing. Like it doesn't even have a purpose, but it's just there as this thing that used to happen. And when that happens, it kind of becomes stale. And so I think the calling for us as Horizon is to make sure that doesn't happen here, you know, to make sure that we have a purpose when we meet together. We talk about children and youth not becoming disillusioned with church, and actually they need to know why we're here, right? If it's just like we go on a Sunday and the rest of the week is irrelevant to what we do on a Sunday, then there's no meaning behind it. There's no purpose behind it. And so it needs to match up with life. And what I see with Horizon is like, we're on this journey together. I have this picture of rowing, you know, and sometimes we row on our own, but then we also row together. And actually, as we're on that journey, it's like we need to be rowing together. We need to be moving at the same pace, moving in kind of unison with each other in that way that we have a sense of purpose, a direction that we're going to. And so, you know, it's something around growth in each of us, but also growth in us together as well. And so this is kind of like a call, like, you know, as a church to, you know, battle line call, everyone get in line together, everyone be moving together. This is a call to get in line together. And I just wanted to share, as I kind of bring this to an end, really, I'm going to spend some time in prayer as well. I just want to get us up and moving and really pray this purpose into place. But there's another passage that just really spoke to me about this, and it's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. It says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They don't get it. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I don't fight like a boxer beating the air, but I strike a blow to my body and make it a slave, so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. So you know what, that verse 24, run in such a way as to get the prize. I spoke about being on top of the mountain and seeing the next thing you need to go to. For 2024, see what you need to go towards and then run in a way that you want to get that prize. It reminded me, actually, I was living in West London on a council estate there for 6 years. I was working with a church, kind of doing mission there. And we worked with a lot of youth who were just crazy, basically. You know, they were living crazy lives, they're involved with drugs, involved with dealing, involved in all sorts of things. But we started to see some of them come to faith, and we used to do like a youth group. And basically what happened was, out on the street, if we saw them, they'd be like these tough gangsters and whatever. But suddenly we did like a youth group for these 14, 17 year olds. And I thought, you know what, they just got all the attention and the love that they didn't normally get. maybe, and they just turned up, and it was like suddenly they were like kids, and they were like coming up to us and poking us and trying to get our attention, you know. And they just went from like these hardened criminals to suddenly like people that just wanted to, you just realized they needed love and attention. Anyway, so after a while, some of them started to kind of seek God, and we used to do something at the church on Sunday. And then we said to them, look, after church on Sunday, why don't you come along to, we had like a mission flat where some of us lived together. And we said, come along to it, you know, and we're going to have some food together, and we're just going to have a little kind of prayer time. So it was just like a really simple prayer time that we did with them. And God started to move through it, but it was really, every week was different. Like one week we'd have like 15 of them, and the next week there'll be two. And it was just depending on what was going on in their lives at that point. Anyway, what I'm getting towards is that the leader of the missions team, my friend, was walking along with a watermelon that he was going to use as kind of dessert for the day. After our meal, we're going to have a watermelon together. And he sees a load of the lads out on the estate, and they said, oh, you know, what's that for? And he decided to say, I don't know why he decided to say this. He goes, oh, Jamie Fletcher's going to smash it on his head today when you go to the house, right? And so they're all like, oh, wow, let's go tell everyone, let's go come. So suddenly we have like 15 boys at the flat who are all waiting for me to smash this watermelon on my head. And so he comes up to me and he's like, look, I'm really, really sorry, but I told everybody that you're going to smash a watermelon on your head, but can you just like take one for the team? Because I want them to really come here and really experience what God's got for them. So I was like, oh, I thought, okay, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to try it and just smash this watermelon on my head. And so I remembered like my football training when I was younger, you know, when you're playing down the little leagues, they'd always say to you, like, if the ball comes for a header and you don't put your head through it and you kind of just like stand there, then it will just hit you and you'll probably like fall over or get your head hurt. What you need to do is just hit it with confidence, just like put your head right through it. So I thought, right, that's what I'm going to do. But I had some clothes on as well. I didn't want to get dirty. So I had like a bin bag that I'd kind of made like that over me as well. And so in front of all these young people, I'm sitting there with a bin bag on me and sitting there with a watermelon. I just decided, you know what, I'm going to go for it. I did it and it smashed, and suddenly like the whole place just erupted. Like we're on the block of flats in the middle of this estate, surrounded by other, like proper in London. So there's like flats everywhere on a Sunday afternoon, and everyone's just like going absolutely crazy, you know, just teenage boys, like, whoa, you know, that kind of thing. And I thought, you know, people are going to be thinking, what's going on in that Christian flat over there? You know what, I did it because there was a sense of purpose. Actually, we were doing it for a reason, and I was smashing through that watermelon because we wanted to see these guys, we loved them, we wanted to see God break through into their lives. And that's what I believe, you know, we need to do this morning is really just smash through the limitations that we see before us. There's limits that we place on our lives. Even as you think about the next year, there'll be like little doubts in your mind that go, yeah, but what about that? What about this? What about that? And I just feel today we need to really smash through those. So we need to be doing that. But also, there's this sense of not running around aimlessly. It talks about in that chapter, that verse there. Don't run around aimlessly, but live life with meaning. So are you ready to smash through some limits today? Ready to smash through some spiritual watermelons? Yeah? Shall we do it? Right, I'm going to invite everybody to stand to their feet. And we're going to change the tempo a little bit. I feel like I've kind of been chatting on, but actually, I want to invite you, Holy Spirit, just to start to show to us those limits that are in front of us. Start to show the limits that are preventing us from reaching the purpose that you've set before us for this next year. And we're not going to get too far ahead. We're not going to start thinking about our whole purpose in life or where you want us to be in 5 years, 10 years. But actually, what is that next bit on the mountain that you want us to be heading towards? And pray right now, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, show us those limitations and show us a way that we can break through them. And you know what, I had like this image in my mind of like a sink that's blocked and the plug hole is blocked and everything that's supposed to go down that sink, all the kind of dirt and whatever else is suddenly then in that water and just kind of swishing around. And actually God's saying that he wants to unblock the plug and for those things to go down and for clean water to be going through. So Lord, we just pray that into being right now. We pray for any limits there that are just preventing things from going. And as that's kind of prevention, that blockage happens, that actually there's this sense that life gets even more messy and it feels like it's something that can't be fixed. But actually we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you just unblock that plug. And maybe there's a sense of people kind of going, I want to know God, I want to experience the Holy Spirit, but it feels like there's a blockage there. So pray right now for that plug to be unblocked in the name of Jesus. You know what, I've got some scenarios that I just felt like God wanted to really break through into, so break some limits. And I had that picture of rowing earlier, and I spoke earlier in the year about moving in prayer together and I kind of got us to do this clapping exercise. I'm sorry to do this, but I really felt this is important because we need to be rowing together. And so what I want us to do is just to start kind of clicking or just tapping your hands together just quietly at this pace. Just keep doing it. That's it. And it's like, you know what? As we're starting to break through these limits, I just want us to build this up to get louder. If you feel like there's a limit that you're trying to break through, then just start to raise the volume in this place, because I believe there's limits here written down that people are experiencing. So, God, first of all, I pray for those who are weary. I pray Revelation 3:8 over them. See, I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know you have little strength, yet you've kept my word and have not denied it. So, Lord, I pray for those who are weary, that there will be an open door before them in the name of Jesus. There will be an open door before them that they can push, that they can go through. They're no longer tired, no longer weary, but they're able to walk into what you're doing in the name of Jesus. I pray for those with hindrance, that they will throw it off. I speak Hebrews 12:1 over you, that let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles. There's people right now that have a hindrance, that have sin in their lives, that it needs to just be thrown off in the name of Jesus, so you can go forward to what God's doing. You can break through that limitation, smash the watermelon. Lord, we pray for those with that blockage that I talked out in the name of Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus right now that plug hole is unblocked, that right now, Holy Spirit, come into that person's life. Holy Spirit, fall into their heart in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for those who are lacking in confidence, that we speak 2 Timothy 1:7 over them. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. We pray in the name of Jesus for people that walk in confidence in you, that they don't have to kind of go through conversations just trying to make their way through, but actually they're not timid anymore, but they're going to follow you, and they're going to go with confidence as well. We pray for those lacking in faith. We speak 2 Corinthians 4:18 over you. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but is what is unseen. Lord, we don't look at the things ahead of us. We look at what you're showing us, the things that are unseen, the things that you've put in front of us, that purpose that you've put in front of us, and not the obstacles. Lord, we pray for those who've lost their way. Galatians 5:7, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? Lord, we pray for those who it was like they were doing well spiritually. They felt like they were really going for it with you, and suddenly they've just been struggling to get back into that. We pray right now, in the name of Jesus, Isaiah 40:31 over them. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. We pray for them to come back into the fold. We pray for them that where maybe they've lost it a little bit, they're going to get it back, and they're going to get it back stronger in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray for those who've had to wrestle through absolute rubbish in 2023. The Isaiah 48:10 we speak over them that says, I have refined you, I've tested you in the furnace of affliction. Let's raise it up again, let's raise the volume a little bit. I've tested you in the furnace of affliction, that there's people here who actually, it's like God's been refining you like a sword in the fire, and he's been taking bits off you, but actually he's removing those because he's refining you. It's the refiner's fire, and he's making it sharper for 2024. So we speak that over those people in the name of Jesus. We speak against every limitation of the mouth, every word that is spoken against you, every word that you speak yourself. We speak against every limitation of the mind, every thought, every limitation of the physical body, every limitation of mental health. We speak it in the name of Jesus, and we invoke the name of Jesus Christ. It says he's far above every rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked. So we invoke the name of Jesus Christ into these situations in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's bring it down. And let's just have a little bit of silence quickly. Psalm 138 verse 8 says, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. So Lord, we just trust you're fulfilling our purpose. We trust, as we did that exercise actually, that we're doing something in the physical that represents something in the spiritual. We're moving together. This isn't just a purpose for us individually. This is a purpose for us as a church, and it requires all of us to be rowing together. And so we just lift ourselves up to you right now. Pray for your purpose to be fulfilled. I want to speak over people, 1 Corinthians 6:9 as well, 6:19, which says our bodies are temples for the Holy Spirit. And I believe in this time that God's calling people just to kind of detox, just to take all those bad things out and to make our bodies like a temple for the Holy Spirit. I heard someone this morning say about consecration, and that's been on my mind as well, on my heart as well, actually, that this is a time as a church where in some ways we've kind of indulged in so much and almost gone with what the world's doing. It's a time of actually removing ourselves a little bit from that and saying, we're going to be set apart. We're going to be consecrated. We're not going to be fed what everybody else is fed. So Lord, I pray right now, we just humble ourselves. I'm just going to get on my knees just for the church and the limitations I felt yesterday. I was preparing this. I just felt so much weight that I believe was the weight of the limitations of the people in Horizon Church. And Lord, we just give it over to you in the name of Jesus. We just humble ourselves before you. We sit at the foot of the cross because we know it's you who brings that purpose, that sense of revelation. I pray with today, we just put a marker down that we say, God, you're going to be at work in our lives this year. We're going to smash through those limits. I'm not going to let those things hold us back, but we do it all by the power of your Holy Spirit. That every spiritual blessing that was spoken over that verse earlier, we just pray that right now, that every spiritual blessing is over the people in this room to fulfill the purpose you have for them, to fulfill the purpose you have for this church, and to fulfill the purpose that you have for this community and this nation. In Jesus' name, amen.